Okay, anybody got a praise report? We'll have a praise report first. Anybody? Amen, yeah. How many did Thomasville send up there? Okay. Oh, Talcon, that's right, Talcon Electric. Yeah. Anybody else got a second praise report? Do what now? Oh, okay, all right, okay. Where did they go, St. Augustine? Out of where?
Alabama.
Alabama, yeah. Okay, it's hard to hear when we're that far away, you know, but, oh, okay. They loved that, didn't they? We even, the leftover pot and soil we put, I tell Alanez and Linda, we put out there by the air conditioner. We'll eventually fill that hole up. Okay. All right, let's take our Bibles and go to Revelation 18, beginning in verse 9. I want to talk to you about Babylon Has Fallen, part 2. Last week we discussed the destruction of religious Babylon in chapter 17. In chapter 18 we discussed the destruction of commercial or political Babylon. Now, in our text, the angel announces the destruction of the world system that hates God. And I once preached a message out of John 15, why the world hates us. I don't know if y'all remember that, but I want to share four aspects of this judgment. Last week we looked at two. You see on your screen, God's judgment is certain, verses 1 through 3. Babylon has fallen. That great harlot that has fornicated with the false religious system of that day that's going to come on the scene. Now, as you read Revelation 18, 19, of course, the harlot system that's going to be left will be a conglomeration of all false religions of the world. But you can't help but read and see the Catholic Church in here as you look at some of the language of some of the scriptures. And so we saw that Babylon is demonic, unfaithful, intoxicated with material gain and material wealth. And you don't have to go far to understand that. All you got to do is look at Wall Street and look at the financial aspect of our nations and see that it is material wealth that drives many nations. So God's judgment is certain. Secondly, we looked at God's judgment is against sin in verses 4 through 8. We saw that they are to be separated from this world system. Those in that day that are living in that time, when this Babylon is destroyed, symbolic of the world system that hates God, that they are to be separated from the world system. And we learned that God has not forsaken us, and he has remembered Babylon's sin. They will be judged. And God is long-suffering, and his judgment is inevitable and just. And he's allowed evil in the world to show his grace, his mercy, and his redemption. Okay? People say, I don't see why evil exists. Well, God didn't create it. He's allowed it to show his character. Okay? And that'll help you a lot in that regard. But there's a payday has finally come here. And the Bible, we learned that her destruction is, in verse 8, chapter 8, is in one day. Now, we have to take that literal. Because it happened before in another Babylon by a guy named Darius. Daniel chapter 5, verse 1, verse 3 and 5, verse 30, destruction in one day. So the destruction of this political, commercial, material Babylon is going to happen in one day. And now let's pick up in verse 9 and begin to look at the third aspect of God's judgment. God's judgment brings mourning. And I understand that it's not popular to preach on sin. It's not popular to preach on judgment. It's not popular to talk about the commitment it takes to follow Christ. And I understand that. I, I was told this week by a pastor in the know that there's a certain pastor, a black pastor, came to a big church here in Thomasville. And when he came years ago, the people in the church, the board or elders or deacons, whatever they call them, told him, preacher, you can stay here as long as you want, as long as you don't preach on sin. Now, you start preaching on sin, then you're out. But if you don't preach on sin, we're going to take care of you. So he stayed there years and years and years, so I guess he didn't preach on sin. And they took care of him. But God's judgment brings mourning. Look at first of all at the anguish by the kings in verse 9. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and with her, this is spiritual fornication, okay? They have sold their soul to the devil, have committed fornication and lived delicately with her, shall bewail her and lament for her when she shall see the smoke of her burning. And one day, God is going to destroy this political material Babylon. So the kings of the earth are going to lament. It says that they stand off at a distance, trying to avoid judgment themselves. The suddenness and swiftness are emphasized here again. Look in verse 10. Standing afar off, fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. So the kings will lament her. There's going to be mourning. But not only that, in verses 11 through 17, there's going to be anguish by the land merchants. The land merchants. Notice, let's just read it, and I'm going to go back and make some comments. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth her merchandise anymore. The merchandise of gold and of silver and precious stones and of pearls, of fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet. Boy, if you haven't watched a Catholic funeral recently, all this, you see all this. And it says, and all thine wood and all manner of vessels of ivory and all manner of vessels of precious wood and of brass and iron and marble and cinnamon and odors and with ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men. Let's stop right there, souls of men. What is one of the things that you hear a lot about today is slave trading. Are human trafficking, and that's what it's talking about right there. God's going to finally judge it right here in one day. All the Epstein people of the world and all the countries that allow it are going to be judged. So all this here speaks of very precious, valuable stuff that, in fact, it lists 28 commodities that the mark of the beast, that if you don't take the mark of the beast, you won't be able to buy and sell any of these things during the tribulation time. But two things stand out about all these items that are listed here, the luxurious items. Guess who's going to have all that during tribulation? It won't be the common person. It's going to be the kings of the earth. And that's the way they want to go today. They want to take away from everybody so they can live a lavish lifestyle. And don't believe the lie that everybody's going to be, they want everybody equal but them, okay, in the tribulation period with socialism. And Brother Frank's got something good on his phone. He let me read a while ago about the policies of socialism and what they want. Boy, I tell you what, I hope that never comes to pass. I hope there's still more of us than there is them, right? Because it's going to be terrible when that happens. So you see here, all these, they're involved in human trafficking. The merchants will weep from a distance because of the loss of their luxuries in verses 14 through 17. But notice 17 and 19, anguish by the sea merchants. Now notice that in verse 17 of chapter 18. For in 1 hour so great riches come to naught, and every shipmaster and all the company and ships and sailors, as many as trade by sea, shall stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city, What city is like unto this great city? So God will destroy it. And the world, part of the world system, will mourn the loss of Babylon. And we're going to be in heaven at this time, raptured back in Revelation 6. And we'll see next week our reaction in heaven over this judgment. Okay, we'll look at that. And it's called Hallelujah. Amen. And we're going to look at it. Now, anguished by the sea merchants. These sea merchants weep over her destruction. Their business of taking things to people is destroyed. So we see God's judgment is certain. Don't ever think God is absent-minded. God's vindication of you is certain. You will be vindicated. And God's judgment is against sin, just like he did at the cross. Christ took our judgment of sin when he died in our place. Sin was judged. Okay? And what we do then is repent of our sin and we put our faith and belief in Christ alone for salvation. There's no other way. You can't go to heaven by being a good person. In fact, there is no good person, right? There's only one good. So God's judgment brings mourning, but look at verses 20 and 24. God's judgment is to be praised. Now that's strange, and we'll get more into that next week. But look in verse 20. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, speaking of judgment. Thus with violence shall that great city of Babylon be thrown down, and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of harpers and musicians and the pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. No craftsman of whatever craft he be shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of millstone. So what that verse 22 is telling us, he's going to destroy the arts and entertainment network. Okay. He says the sound of the millstone shall be heard no more all in thee. Verse 23, and the light of candles shall shine no more in all of thee. What group today, what denomination or what false religion today uses a lot of candles, right? Yeah. And he said, shall no more, and the bride shall be heard no more in all thee. For the merchants were the great men of earth, for by their sorcerers were all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. You know, it sickens my heart that even today I hear about people who profess to be Christians who are seeking after this woman in Thomasville, Mother Thompson, right? And they're seeking after the sorcery and the wizardry, and they're seeking after what's that thing? I don't read none of it, so it's hard for me to remember what it is. The horoscope, right? We had a president's wife that did that, right? One time. And it's going to be a sad day. All of them's going to be, verse 24, and it was found the blood of prophets. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. God will vindicate the martyrs that have been martyred ever since time began, and he's going to bring judgment here. So, and we see the world reacts to Babylon destruction by weeping and mourning, but we're going to get into this more next week. Heaven rejoices as we see these, and especially when we get into chapter 19, 1 through 10, we'll see how we're going to rejoice when God vindicates himself, punishes evil. Now, we don't take delight and the fact that anybody goes to hell, right? I remember a preacher one time. He was of the Word Faith movement. He was of the Prosperity Gospel. And I'm not going to call it preaching. I'm not going to give it that kind of credence. But he was doing his thing, and he said, Baptists have sent more people to hell than anybody. What would you think would be the reaction of the people? They applauded. Come on, tell me, you know? We ain't sent nobody to hell. They sent their own self there, right? But if I'm glad you're here tonight, Tina. I lighten up a little moment there. Well, we don't rejoice on anybody going to hell, do we? We don't. And we're not really rejoicing when we see this happen at this time. What we're rejoicing in is God has made himself known, and he's judged sin, and he's vindicating us. Right? That's what we rejoice in. It's not that we're hoping that lost people die and go to hell. It's that we are rejoicing that God will set it all straight one day. Right? So that's what we're rejoicing. And here again we see this, our attitude to the system apart from God is stated in verse 4. Notice what he told us in verse 4. How should we look at the world? And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, and that you be not partakers of her sins, that you receive not of her plagues. So what's the big word I'm looking for, the big S word? Separation, right? Separation. We've been called out of the world. We're in the world, but not of the world. We no longer think like the world, act like the world, dress like the world. We are God's people. And I think that we will make this world a better place if we would understand that and the church begin to look and act like the church. Amen? When it comes to this time. So again, God answers the plea of the martyrs back in chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. I mean, don't overlook this in verse 21, the millstone. That in the Bible symbolizes complete and utter destruction of this world system. And of course, we see her reason for her destruction and all that she's done for the martyrs and things like that. Now, this is a strong warning against falling in love with this world. And that's what's wrong with the church today. I mean, I'll just be honest with you. You can give me a raise or fire me, whatever. But I'm telling you, what's wrong with the church today is we become so worldly. We look and act just like the world. We let our children read the same little teen magazines that the world reads. We let them go to the same movies that the world goes to. Am I dabbling yet? We let them read the same books that the world reads. We let them dress the same way that the world dresses, right? Now, I ain't saying you got to come to church with a dress so long that we got to pick you up off the floor. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying God's people need to be separated and look and act a little different. So this is a strong warning against falling in love with this world system. Lest I remind you, let me tell you what the Apostle John said about it, because it's going to be judged. Let me read this one verse again. 1 John 2:15. Love not the world. Now, he's not talking about creation. He's not talking about people. He's talking about this Babylon, this system, the world system headed up by Satan. He says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. We've seen that since Genesis chapter 3. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. What does that verse tell me? That tells me that if you're out there trying to run with the world and be just like them, you can't have the love of the Father in you. Did I stretch that too much? No, you can't. You can't try to run and be like the world. You know, if you really want what's coming to you, you'd be willing to be martyred for the faith. Right? How strange it is that we don't want to be martyred, but yet at the same time, all Christians were martyred up to this point, but we think if we're killed that there's something wrong with us, you know? And he says here, and I keep looking at Wanda and Ray because they keep responding to me. If you respond to me, I'm going to look at you, okay? But, and notice what verse 17 says, and the world passes away, right here. I mean, we're going to have to see destruction of Babylon. But right before the new heavens and the earth, everything is going to just blow up. Man's not going to destroy the earth. God is, right? Don't worry about the all the things that they're trying to save. They need to be worrying about saving their soul. Amen? They need to be worried about their eternal destiny, not some snail darter thing that's keeping them from building a highway, you know? Those will take care of itself, right? And the world passes away and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. The will of God. That is a Christian, amen? He that doeth the will of God. Jesus said in Matthew, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Right? I'm telling you, there's a payday someday, and for Babylon, the world system, the economic, political, materialistic Babylon, right here in verse 18, is going to be destroyed. Now, next week, we're going to look in chapter 19. We'll look more into our reaction to what's going on earth when the harlot is destroyed and political Babylon is destroyed in verses 1 through 10 of chapter 19. No invitation tonight. Father, thank you for your word. It is amazing that we can read history before it ever happens. In fact, that's what the book of Revelation, not only is the revelation of Jesus Christ, it's all about him, but it is the back to the future. We're looking at right now what's going to happen in the future. We don't need to read a horoscope. We don't need to get some man's opinion on the news about what's happening and when it's going to happen. We can look right here in the printed page of your holy word and tell where this world is headed and where we are headed as well. We ask these things tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You're dismissed.